So this morning at 8 o'clock, we had our first service at the women's prison, LCIW at Jetson. Then our second service starts at 8:30. And there's over 100 women. That is one-fourth of the entire prison that are coming out to the services. On the one day, they can sleep in. And they have to be there for 8 o'clock. And they have to be ready to go. And they sing and worship. And they're the greeters. And they do the offering. And they do everything themselves. And so I just want to encourage you. One of the reasons that's important, if you have an opportunity to be involved in prison ministry, they feel forgotten. They feel unworthy. They live with the guilt and the shame of what they did and how they were acting. But Christ has come, and the Bible says, whoever the Son sets free is. And so we have to remind them, they are as free as we are. They're just as saved as we are, right? We all get saved at the foot of the cross. So I want to encourage you, the blessing of prison ministry is so wonderful. In fact, just last Sunday, at one of the churches that we oversee in Eswatini, or Swaziland, Africa, right down the tip of Africa, they were able to go into the women's prisons, and we haven't ever had an opportunity there before, and they baptized 34 brand new believers inside the prison. Come on, give the Lord a good hand, would you? 34 women who thought their life was marred forever, and now they've got the new life. I'd love to explain the new life this way. I run a Mac computer, because that's what my wife told me to get. So I got a Mac. But when I got saved, God came in and wiped my hard drive and gave me a brand new operating system. So I'm not that old Mac I used to be. I'm brand new. I'm an upgrade. I got a clean cache. I don't have anything in the background hanging out giving me problems. That has been made new by the power of God. What a great day to be together today. So I get to keep all the young people with me today. Woo, yippee, hey. I haven't seen this much hair in a long time. Woo, woo, this is great. Yeah, I love it, I love it. I want to thank Pastor Dwayne and Pastor Cindy for inviting me again today. Church of the Promise. Say that with me, would you please?
Church of the Promise.
That is a unique name given by God to Pastor Dwayne. It has a unique purpose, because it defines who we are. Our names carry such power that it shapes who we are, because that's who God wants us to be. And I felt the Lord really speaking to me last night and this morning that the faith in this church is going to continue to expand. And as our faith expands in what God can do, then our avenues and opportunities for ministry will expand. As our faith grows, then our activity begins to expand. One of the things that's going to draw people to Church of the Promise is that you're full of life. You got to figure out how the life works here, what makes the life of Christ work in this part of the world. So our faith has to grow. In fact, it's got to go beyond the boundaries that we've had to this point. We got to go further. Every time I drive over, somebody has plowed up a rice field and put in crawfish. I don't know what's going on, but they just seem to be going everywhere. I was riding along today, and I thought, boy, that's a lot of water standing. And I realized, uh-oh, that's their own purpose. What are we going to do when the boundaries of this work for God expand? You see, as we understand God's vision, we hear Him say, go and tell. Then we can only really serve God because we're operating on that level, that understanding of faith. Pastor Dwayne's faith and ours, we're the co-workers with the leadership here, it has to increase. Not only does Pastor Dwayne have to be stretched and pulled, we've got to grow along with him so that we can help him live out what God's telling us to do here. The Lord told me that the faith of this body has to rise corporately so that you can do more than you think you can do. And I was reminiscing this morning of when we were over on Thompson. Is that what it is over Thompson? And we were in that little bitty building and came over. And all I could see was, oh, this thing's fixing to explode. We're fixing to see some growth. You know, and you could almost reach out and touch the back door. It was pretty close. But God knew. That's why he held this piece of land for you. It could have went to anybody else. And God said, no, I need that right there. So our faith helps our ministry continue to grow. And that allows the work to expand. But listen to me. Little faith inspires less faith. If we're comfortable with just doing what we're doing, the little we're doing, then we won't ever increase. You'll just stay like you are. In fact, what happens is you begin to decrease. But great faith inspires even greater faith. So what God's wanting to do now is to help us to breathe in so that we can go faster and farther than we've ever imagined that we can go. What are we going to do when the Lord speaks even bigger things for Pastor Duane to do? We're going to go. What are we going to do when people come in who don't look like us? Let's say there's something changes and now there's a boom in the oil fields again, and we get a bunch of Yankees show up down here. They don't even know what rice is. They haven't got a clue. And suddenly they just get a hunger for God, and they show up in our services and bring all of their family, and they just take over. What are we going to do? One, we're going to receive them. We're going to accept them. We're going to make them feel at home. You see, in the North, they're not as hospitable as we are. When you travel in New York City, the one thing you don't do is talk to anybody. If you stop and ask them directions, they'll send you in the wrong direction just to get rid of you. Been there, seen that up close. But I know down here where we live, in fact, if you don't know where, we'll show you. We'll drive you over there. I was standing yesterday in Costco. My daughter sent me to go get some things. And she wanted a particular item, and I couldn't find it. And I circled about 3 or 4 times. Anybody ever been to Costco? Anybody ever seen that? I'm going around, and you know, and it was that day that they were giving away free samples at the end of every aisle. And it must have been International Day, because I could hear people talking in languages I've never heard before. And we're just going around and around, and I don't have a blinker on my cart. I can't get over. I'm about to get run over. And I realized I can't find what I'm looking for. And I walked up to a young man who was stacking items on the shelf, and I saw his name tag. It said Harlan. I said, "You look like a smart man, Harlan." He turned around. "Yes, sir." I said, "Can you tell me where this is?" He paused and he said, "It should be on this aisle, but if not, it's going to be on 303. And if it's not there, we don't have any in stock today." And then he said, "Come, let me show you where I'm talking about." And he led me over there. And he was so thin, he could slide through. I had to go around the world and get back over. He was waiting on me when I got there. You know what he said? "We don't have any. I'm so sorry." I said, "That's okay." I said, "You did your job. You did exactly what I needed you to do." He had a big old grin on his face. He went back to his spot, started stacking boxes again. And I thought, now that's how the kingdom of God works. Hey, I don't know what I need. Well, come on, I'll show you what you need. And we have to know where to get in the presence of God. People will come in. They don't know what this area of the altar means. They don't understand that word. But this is where we can come and have an encounter with God. This is where we can come as people and just receive from God. So I want to encourage us today. God's intent is for us to grow in our understanding of Him so that our outreach ministry will grow and we can touch more people. Do this for me. Look at 3 different people and tell them these words. Get ready, get ready, get ready. Come on. Oh, man. I love coming here. Y'all, thank you, thank you. Y'all just make it easy. Let's take our Bibles out today and turn to the book of 1 Kings, chapter 18. And I wanted to talk today about looking for your cloud. So is it true y'all had storms here a couple of days ago and somebody got hail in their yard? Anybody get some bad weather? We got liquid rain. We got all we wanted. And you know I just put out fertilizer on my yard. You know I just put it out. And I put out a weed killer, a real expensive one. And it rained. And I had a sticker element in it to make it stick to the clover. And, of course, it rained and washed all my sticker off. And I just had to stand at the back door. Thank you, Father. We must have needed rain today. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. I didn't actually buy it. My neighbor gave it to me, so I got to go now and buy her a bottle and replace it, but it's going to be all right. We're going to be good. Looking for our cloud. There were two men standing in the road, both looking down at the ground. One had lost his watch. The other was a friend trying to help him. Soon others gathered around, and they were searching and asking, you know, what does it look like? Is it shiny? Is it dark? And they were looking, and one guy went over and was looking down in the drain on the side of the road and looking under cars. They're looking everywhere. About 25, 30 minutes later, one of the newest recruits came over and said, "So, where did you drop it?" "Well, I dropped it over there in the bushes." "Then why are we looking over here in the road?" "Because the light is better." How do you know we have a whole generation looking for things in the wrong place? Because it's easy and smooth when really what they're hunting for is a mystery that God has kept for a long time, and they're going to have to seek Him to find it. I want to talk to you today about looking for our cloud, the fresh favor of God, the pure rain that comes from heaven. We need the rain to come to soften the hard places in our heart. We need the rain to come to feed the seeds of faith that God has put in our heart. We need the rain from heaven to come to wash away the tears from our eyes. We need the rain of heaven to come to wash away the dirt and the dust from having to live in this old world. We need the rain of heaven to come to bring a refreshing, a renewing, as well as remove some of the old things. We need the rain from heaven to come. Can you say amen? Look at chapter 18 and verse number 1. It's not in our text, but I want to show you something. "And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, 'Go show yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth.'" Came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came. The word of the Lord came and said, "I need you to go." Now let's turn to chapter 18, this time verse 41. "I need you to go, Elijah, because I'm going to send rain." What does it mean when God gives His word? Now I know this is the word of God, written by over 40 different authors on three continents of the world, Asia, Africa, in Europe, over a span of 1,500 years, from people of all walks of life, all types of education, and yet they were all moved by the same Holy Spirit to make sure that we understood what God wanted us to get. What does it mean when we get a word from the Lord? Isaiah 40 verse 8 says this, "And the word of the Lord shall stand forever. The word of the Lord endures. The word of the Lord remains. Even though men and women may die, even though people in the ministry may pass off the scene, everything in our world can be uncertain, unstable, and fleeting, and it looks like nothing is going to hold steady. Whatever changes that come, the word of the Lord is going to remain the same. Generation after generation, it's settled. When the word of the Lord stands forever, we receive it into our heart, and it begins to take a dwelling place inside of us, and we experience the effects of what the word does. This is a word from God. In the darkness, He said these words, "Let there be light." Can anybody tell me what happened? Light came. His word has that kind of creative power to make things happen. You see, we call it the word of God, the word of the Lord. It's unmoved, it's fixed, it's permanent. It remains true, unaffected by time and by culture. It never fades. It never grows weak. It has the same power as the day God spoke it. We have the same Holy Spirit that they received on the day of Pentecost in the upper room in the book of Acts. We get everything they got. There's no diminishing. The tick of the clock does not change what God's power can do. Everything that God intended for them to have, we can have.
Yes, amen.
The word of the Lord refers to something that God has decreed or God has said will come to pass. I love the King James Bible because it uses this phrase a lot. "And it came to pass." That's old King James. "And it came to pass." I used to think it meant it came so it could get away. It passed. But I believe it comes so that I can understand what God wants to do. These are the real words of the Lord. All right, so let's look here at chapter 18, verse 41. "And Elijah says to Ahab," so here's a prophet, man of God, speaking to a king, "Get up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. Let's talk about looking for our cloud. So they had been 3.5 years without a single drop of rain falling from the sky. I can remember coming across the Atchafalaya some years ago, and Henderson Swamp wasn't a swamp. Anybody remember those days? I saw a guy walking along with an outboard motor on his shoulder. Somebody had lost the motor off the back of their bateau, and the water was so low, you could see all kinds of spinnerbaits. You could see toolboxes, 5,000 Cs, open reels, laying on the ground because the water had gone away. He picked him up. I think it was a 25 Johnson he had on his shoulder. And I was walking along looking, I'm thinking, he didn't have a boat. He didn't need a boat. He found him a motor. You see, sometimes God will do things to expose the real needs and the real blessings that are there. I want to talk to you today about three things that are necessary for us to find our cloud. Number one, we need a listening spirit. Get up and drink, for there's the sound of the abundance of rain. He didn't see any rain yet, but what? He was listening. I believe there's a sound that the Holy Spirit is speaking to us when we understand His Word and He's speaking in our services. We begin to tune our ear. Here's what God is saying. Let me ask, is there a mother in the room? Can you identify your child when they cry? Yes. Even if they're 49 years old, can you tell that's your baby? Amen. I've always known that women know. They know whose baby it is that's crying. And they'll turn around and look at you. You going to handle that? Or, you know, we know that's yours. And so what happens is God wants us to understand. Get up, he said to the king, eat and drink, for there's the sound of the abundance of rain. You see, after the 3.5 years were over and the altar of broken promises had been restored, that's in chapter 17, now God is free to begin to renew his relationship with the nation of Israel. There's a sound. The Hebrew word there says it's the voice of a noise. The prophet could already hear the sound of raindrops coming. But they were only in his spirit. There wasn't any rain yet. It's dry. It's dusty. You had to hunt for water. But he said, I know what God said. And when God says it, it's going to happen. It was something that he understood inside of himself. When God speaks to us, then we know what anybody else thinks is not relative. It doesn't influence us. I know what God said to me. And I can stand on what God said to me. And it's going to be all right. This is called the word of the Lord. So here's our first question. What are we hearing in the spirit? What are we hearing? Because what we believe impacts how we live. What we believe impacts how we live. If we think we've seen something or heard something, I know a lady's got shingles. Bad. She's just, hope you never get it. If you've had it, I hope it never comes to your house again. It's just bad. But I looked at her and I said, you went on Google. And you looked up all the bad things that can happen with shingles. And she said to me, I'm praying I don't have long-term nerve damage. I said, that's not the word of the Lord. He said, I'm your healer. He said, I'm your restorer. So we're believing for God to let this virus pass, get out of her body, skin turn back to the color it should be, and all the blisters go away and no long-term damage. Is that okay? He said, I am the Lord that heals thee. Psalm 103, I heal all of your diseases, right? Number two, we need a climbing spirit. What do I mean by climbing spirit? Well, look at this. So Ahab, verse 42, Ahab went up to eat, to drink. Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, cast himself down upon the earth, put his face between his knees. We need a spirit that climbs up. We're going to have to go where we can meet God. Aren't you glad you got up and came to church today? I was leaving the house, 8 lightning strikes in one pattern across my home. Rain, I mean just pouring down. And the Lord said, you better get going. And by the way, you're going to need some gas. Oh, I almost forgot. I put gas in my daughter's car. I almost forgot about the other car. We have to go where we can meet God. So we went to the top of Carmel. When we want to have what we've never had, we're going to have to do what we've never done. If I want something fresh from God, I'm going to have to change some things, or it's going to stay the same. He sent to the top. At the top of the mountain, there was a remote place, and I'll try to get to you as quick as I can. Here we go. On the plateau where the altar had been and the fire fell, you couldn't see the ocean. But But if you got high enough up, you could peek over the next few ridges and you could see. And so Elijah went up to the top. One of the reasons that God wants to move in Calcasieu Parish is because there's people here in Church of the Promise who said, I want to go higher in God. I'm willing to climb if I have to. Here's what I did notice. It was pretty private. While he's there seeking God, there's not a word that's recorded of anything he prayed. We don't know if he shed any tears. We don't know if he sighed or groaned or uttered anything. We do know this, that he had to get close to God. Here's the last thing. Not only do we need a listening spirit and a climbing spirit, but what's the third one? An expecting spirit. What do we mean by that? That means we have to know where we're looking. He said to his servant, go look towards the sea. Watch this. Verse 43. Go up now and look towards the sea. Why? Because that's where the clouds are made. The sun pulls up the moisture off the ocean or the sea, makes a cloud. Clouds come in, clouds pour down. Where are we looking for our answers? If it's Safari and Chrome, you're going to get misled. Hello. If it's anywhere on your TV, you're going to get misled. Because they're just talking to be talking. Two things, and I want to close with this. God wanted Elijah to have an experience so that he could have two words. Revelation. He's going to tell Ahab, God made it rain. And two, so that he could expose the relationship that he had with God. The reason God wants to pour out his spirit here is so that he can reveal into this community what he wants to do. And second, so that they can understand we can have a relationship with God. You and I can walk with God. Here we go. Father, we thank you today that we can look for our cloud. We thank you, Lord, what you did here at the altar, unique to this first service. I thank you, Lord, that you're going to pour out your spirit because we're hungry. Lord, help us. Help us today, Lord, to have a good listening ear. Help us to be willing to climb, Lord, into places in you. And help us today to live with an expectancy in our heart that you're going to do exactly what you said you would do. We have your word. Let your word work in us. And we'll see the fresh rain begin to fall. We'll see lives that have been dry, Lord, and crusty once again become tender and pliable by the power of the fresh rain from heaven. Lord, the forecast is true. Rain's coming. We believe it in Jesus' name. And everyone said, come on, give the Lord a good hand of praise today. Thank you. Amen. Amen.